To quote Thomas Jefferson, a well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, one podcast under God, where we discuss the basics of our constitutional republic and how our freedoms are being seized by public officials, both elected and unelected. I'm Mark DeLuzio, a former candidate for the U.S. Congress and a Gold Star father. Join me as we learn together how we can save this unique experiment that we call America. Welcome to the Constitution Solution, episode 39. This episode I titled Presidential Power, Not What the Founding Fathers Had in Mind. Okay, and I'm going to take you back all the way to the 19th century where, you know, most people back then in the time of Lincoln and all that didn't really all that much care who the president was. Okay, I don't really mean they didn't care, but the president did not have the power that they have today. As a matter of fact, back in Abraham Lincoln's day, you could walk right up to the White House, knock on the door, come on in. Abe might be answering the door. He might be inside the White House. You could walk in the White House. You'll find Abraham Lincoln walking on the streets of Washington. It was that easy. And the president, quite frankly, just wasn't that big of a deal back then, okay? And we all know that there are terrorist threats and assassination threats. I mean, come on. We all know that Lincoln was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. However, it was a different game back then in terms of who the president was and what kind of power they yield. Now, why was that? Because the founders, just, you know, less than a century earlier, put in to the Constitution, the checks and balances. And we have a whole episode on that. We also talk about a lot of other things around this, which I'll get to in a minute. But one of the episodes we have is the checks and balances, which probably is the most brilliant part of the Constitution in terms of how they laid that out. So I won't spend a lot of time on that right now. There are many other brilliant parts of the Constitution as well, but the checks and balances is a really big deal, which basically said, look, the three branches of government, Article 1 in the Constitution talks about the executive branch, legislative branch, which is the Congress and the Senate. That's where we supposedly pass laws. I used the word supposedly. I'll get back to that in a minute. Article 2 of the Constitution talks about the executive branch, which is all about the president. Okay, for those of you in Rio Linda, I have to go back and bring back my buddy Rush Limbaugh. The executive branch is the president. And Article 3 in the Constitution talks about the judicial branch, which is the Supreme Court. So all three of those branches have checks and balances against them. And I'm not going to talk much about those today because we talked about them in another podcast episode. However, of the 4,500 some odd words in the original Constitution before the amendments came in, the Article 1 legislative branch took over 50% of the Constitution. That's how important it was. There are seven articles in the Constitution. Article 1 for the legislative branch takes over 50% of the words in the Constitution. That's how important the founders thought that was. But there are checks and balances, so all three branches were designed to have equal power, which is why back in the 19th century, you could walk into the White House and talk to the president, and it wasn't that big of a deal that you talked to the president no different than you talked to a congressman. Okay, so that's kind of how it was laid out. Now, when Woodrow Wilson, I call him Woody because I have trouble saying his first name, Woody Wilson in 1913 got elected, and this is where the whole thing started to come crashing down. We're pretty much following the Constitution all the way up till then. Now, he had a disdain for the Constitution, and we have two episodes on Woody, episode 19 and episode 21, if you want to go back and listen to that. He is the father of the progressive movement, and anybody who tells you that they're a progressive means basically, they may not know what they mean, okay, but if they tell you they're a progressive, they are, by definition, anti-constitution, Woody had a disdain for the Constitution. Matter of fact, he even said that the checks and balances of the Constitution is just a theory. No, Woody, it's the law, okay? He didn't like the fact that his power as president was limited. He had handcuffs on. Yeah, those handcuffs happened to be the checks and balances as designed by our founders. The handcuffs happened to be our Constitution, which he had a disdain for. So he started doing things like passing the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 of the darkness of night on December 23rd, 1913, when most of Congress was away. He did things like passing the 16th Amendment, which gave the right to tax your income, which Congress already had that right, but put in the graduated income tax. The more you make, the more you spend. They did away with the apportionment provision in the Constitution in that amendment. And that is, graduated income tax is a tenet of the Communist Manifesto, the Marxist agenda, okay? It's one of the 10 tenets of graduated income tax. He did other things like starting the first agency, which I'll talk about in a minute, the Federal Trade Commission. So all of a sudden you start looking at all these things that he did, and he did other things as well, okay? You started seeing that the president's now getting a little bit more power. And then that started snowballing. He set the foundation for future presidents like FDR, like Barack Obama, George Bush. By the way, this is not a Democrat-Republican argument here, okay? This is a tyrannical argument about people in power who want more power. So the president starts gaining more power. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this as we go through. Let's understand that the founding fathers set our government up to be in gridlock. You hear people say right now, our government's in gridlock. We can't get anything done. That is by design. Whenever somebody says that, they don't have an understanding of what the founders' vision for this country was in terms of Congress and the Constitution and how it's supposed to all work. It wasn't supposed to be easy to pass a law. It wasn't supposed to be easy to get things done. In that way, they thought that your rights will be better protected. Remember where the Constitution is really here for two reasons. One is to protect our rights, and two, to protect us from threats, foreign and domestic. Okay, so that's the two main reasons of the federal government, and the Constitution is supposed to secure those rights. So we're supposed to have gridlock, okay? Now, as things progressed, and I hate to use that word progressed, and remember, when somebody tells you they're progressive, that, you know, it's like, hey, I'm a progressive. I'm above and beyond the fray. I'm an elitist. I'm my thought process is so advanced that my progressive thoughts is just, you know, subordinates your thoughts about the Constitution, about whether you believe in being a Democrat, being a Republican. I'm a progressive, and I'm just advanced. Okay, so that's my position. That's kind of the attitude progressives had. I hate the word. As a matter of fact, the word is awful. It's just an elitist, arrogant, self-important word, which I wish I could ban it from the dictionary. But anyway, the way the government was set up was we needed a federal government, but not a really strong federal government. Left to their own devices, the states would have killed each other. They would have caused tariffs and taxes and everything else. It would have been a disaster. So we needed some level of government at the federal level. But the whole concept was that the states and the local government in those states has more control at the local level. Now, again, when you go back to the Communist Manifesto and you go back to one of the tenets, it is a stateless society. They erase borders. The tyrants in the federal government today do not want you to have states' rights. They do not want you to have a local school board where you call the shots on your kids' curriculum. They have a Department of Education, which is highly unconstitutional, okay, that will come in and say, hey, by the way, if you don't do what we say, you ain't getting your money back. Because remember, they don't produce money. They take money from us. Okay? You're not getting state funding if you don't put Common Core in or DEI or any of this other crap that they're, jamming down our throats. So who do you call as a parent? Do you call some bureaucrat in Washington? No, you can't, because that bureaucrat is unnamed. You don't know who they are. Okay, you can't call your congressman because these agencies now fall under the executive branch, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. And that's under the president. So they don't have any play in those agencies. Okay. So when you look at this, the government wanted a gridlock type government. They also wanted to have you have more control of the local government. Now that is again an anti-Marxist thing. They want all the government to be held in the state, okay, in the federal government, if you will, because they know better. Of course they know better. You don't know anything. They know everything because they're in power, right? So that's how this is all working, right? So the more of the state's rights get taken away, the more power to the federal government, and your rights are diminished as we go through. So that is a real issue to think about. Now let's talk a little bit about the executive branch. Congress passes a broad law. Okay, let's say they set up the Environmental Protection Agency and they say, hey, make the air clean, basically, without any guidelines at all. Okay, so now this agency gets put together and it takes on a life of its own, billions and billions of dollars, and they come up with all kinds of mandates, whether it's on CO2, who now they classify it as a poison, which is amazing that they can classify something that is necessary for human life. If you remember photosynthesis, trees take in CO2 to produce oxygen. Without oxygen, last time I checked back in my honors biology class in high school, no oxygen, we die. Okay, but somehow they somehow classified CO2 as a poison. They use it as a basis for taxing corporations. Okay, another example could be that they dictate particulates, parts per million particulates in the air. They just come up with that. That didn't come from Congress. That came from these agencies. Some bureaucrat that you didn't elect, that you don't know, that knows better than you, by the way, okay, that comes up with CAFE standards for gasoline standards in automobile companies, okay, where the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, came up during COVID with a regulation that had the power of law where landlords could not evict their tenants for not paying the rent. But nobody gave any reprieve to the landlords not paying their bank, and these guys lost their homes. Okay? The CDC did that, of all people. And there's thousands of examples like this, where, in essence, the executive branch, which resides under the administrative state, actually, these agencies, what I call the fourth branch of government, which, by the way, that's episode 8. If you go back, I have a whole thing on the fourth branch of government. These agencies fall under the president. And the president could say, hey, I want a regulation that does this, that, or that. And guess what? It becomes law. These regulations have the power of law. You can go to jail. They could take your house. They could take your car. They could take your money. Okay. These agencies, through their regulations, are writing law and they fall under the president. So, how did this all happen? Congress ceded their responsibilities to write law to the executive branch. So, a lot of this rests on Congress's shoulders, not the president's. They're the one that gave the president the power to do this through these executive agencies, these administrative agencies. Okay? Congress is to blame. So, if you look at Article 1, Section 8, which are the 18 enumerated powers of Congress, those are almost null and void now because these agencies can write any type of regulation that has the power of law, and Congress will never get tagged with them. That's something. It's kind of neat, huh? They'll never get tagged with them because if they wrote laws that represented a lot of these regulations, they would be kicked out of office in a heartbeat. Okay? So that's what's going on now. Okay? They ceded their responsibility and their power. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're a representative government. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. which means that you have a representative, a congressional representative, that's supposed to represent your interest as a citizen. How can you go to that representative and complain about something that's going on in one of these agencies that fall under the executive branch? The legislative branch, the Congress in this case, has no say in what goes on over there, unless they write another law, okay? So, and by the way, there's more to this with executive orders that the president has now, which aren't even in the Constitution. I have an episode on that, if you go back and take a look at that. So anyway, your rights as a citizen are being eroded, and the president now is the most important part of the government. I can argue in some cases the judicial branch, the Supreme Court, does too, because they write law too. Roe v. Wade was a great example of the Supreme Court writing law that stood for over 50 years. They told the states what to do with the trimester rules and all that stuff. They actually wrote law from the bench. Okay, so this is where we're going. Okay, so if you look at the executive branch, they are the most powerful branch right now, which is why all the hoopla over these presidential elections, who's going to become president. Look at the power the president has. You know, as much as I love President Trump, he has no right to set tariffs. That is Article 1, Section 8, responsibility. One of the enumerated powers of Congress sets tariffs. They set tariffs. But Congress wrote laws to allow the president to be able to set tariffs. Okay? So right there, that provision of Article 1, Section 8 is gone. Congress wrote laws that allow the president under certain circumstances to take our country to war. Article 1, Section 8 says only Congress can declare war. The founders did not want any one individual to be able to declare war. Well, that's gone. Right now we're in Yemen. We're in Jordan. Biden has us over in Syria. We're in Iraq. We're supposed to have freed Iraq. When my son, who got killed in Afghanistan, first fought in Iraq, it's called Operation, right on his grave, it says Operation Enduring Freedom. Okay, there's no freedom there. Now we're attacking the country that we say we're going to free. Okay, and that's Biden who did that. You see what I'm saying? I mean, the Congress has no power now. They ceded their power to the executive branch. And there's a million reasons why that happens. But suffice it to say, though, that the framework of our Constitution and the checks and balances that the founders put in are gone, or eroding, I should say. They're not all gone. The president could still veto a bill. The Supreme Court could still deem a law unconstitutional. And, for example, the Congress has power of impeachment. These are some of the examples of checks and balances that each one of the branches has, right? However, it's going down the tubes really fast. How does this happen? People being citizens are asleep at the wheel. They don't even see this happening right in front of their very eyes. And this has been happening since 1913. Okay. So let's go back to Federalist 51, the Federalist Papers, where Madison wrote this. If men were angels, no government would be necessary. You must enable the government to control the governed. However, you must oblige the government to control itself. Okay, so they recognized a very fine balance between government power at the federal level versus government power ceding to the states and to the local government. Okay, so this is where, you know, when you try to look at this, Congress is almost like a defunct branch of government now. They've given away their power. The president has most of the power right now, which is why the president is so important to this country. And it shouldn't be that way. It should not be that way. All right. And I don't care who's president, if it's Trump, if it's Obama, if it's Bush, what's his name? Biden? I don't care who the president is. the Constitution is the Constitution, and the checks and balances, to me, and also to Judge Scalia, by the way, God rest his soul, is the most brilliant part of the Constitution, amongst all the other things. Electoral College, the fact that we're a republic, not a democracy. We have an episode on that. The Second Amendment is a brilliant amendment, believe it or not. And it's coming under, obviously, a lot of scrutiny. But, you know, I will say this. When the government has grown too large right now, which is the reason for all this inflation and Federal Reserve, you know, printing money and all that. And by the way, the Federal Reserve is another reason why we're losing our freedoms. When you look at the government in general, okay, it is we've always been at odds as to how it's supposed to work. I mean, save the Constitution. Even the founders fought about the Constitution. You had the Hamiltons, you had the Adams, who were bigger government guys, and then you had the Madisons and Jeffersons of the world, who were smaller government guys. Okay. However, the Federalist Papers were written by three people. Madison, small government guy, Hamilton, big government guy, and John Jay. Okay. He wrote a very minor part of the Federalist Papers. But those two guys were at odds philosophically as to how the government was supposed to be set up in terms of the government's power. Thank God Jefferson and Madison won in that regard. We held on to it for 150 years. But in 1913, we started losing it. But those guys were at odds, but still, here they are writing the Federalist Papers to the state of New York, to editorials, to convince New York to sign on to the Constitution, which gave way to the Bill of Rights, and that created our new Constitution in 1787. Okay, so they were at odds, but they still had the underlying principle of what this Constitution is all about. Today, especially on the left and in some cases on the right, there's a disdain for that framework. See, the founders didn't have a disdain as much for the framework of protecting the rights of the people. But now you look at this and you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. And I think it's in Federalist 11 that they talk about, be careful not to relinquish debt with public money, with American, with taxpayer money. Guess what we tried to do in this last election with tuition reimbursement, okay? They talked about equal division of property. That's been tried. Don't believe me, talk to Bernie Sanders. He cares more about that than he cares about the freedom of speech, okay? All these things that some of these founders didn't even think this stuff would even happen, right? But all of these things that we talk about have been tried. And it's continuing to be tried. And so our republic is always going to be under attack. And the more we allow one branch, in this case, the president, the executive branch, to gain more power, the more we're going to start looking like a second-tier socialistic country like we see in Europe today, in South America, and elsewhere in the world. Look at England today. It's a mess. Okay, they have a parliamentary system where the prime minister really doesn't have any power. The parliament has all the power. See, they don't have the checks and balances there like we do. But we're losing our checks and balances because of how we're treating this. And to me, the root cause, I could say, is Congress. But the root cause is the American citizen who's not pushing back enough on their congressman and saying, no, we want to take our country back. We can't allow the president to have these kind of powers. And I only named a couple. Okay. But in order for us to do that, we need to be educated. And that's why we do this podcast, right? We need to be educated on the framers' vision for this country. And it worked, and it's still working, believe it or not, albeit it's got some cracks in the foundation right now, okay? And if we're not careful, we're going to lose it all, especially if we go to Article 5, where we go to a constitutional convention, and they totally rewrite the Constitution. That's the danger. And I'm against Article 5 right now because I don't trust anybody, even on the Republican side, to do what's right and keep the Constitution in the spirit of the framers. I mean, look at the 16th Amendment. That was against the apportionment clause where it said taxes should come equally from all the states based on population. That's gone. That's gone. Okay. The fact that they took away in the 17th Amendment the right for the state legislatures to elect their state, their federal senators, that's gone now. That went to popular vote. You see, so all of these things I'm talking about were in the Constitution, not because, that's what they decided to do. They're in the Constitution for very specific reasons to get the most representative government where the 51% majority would not trample on the 49% minority. That's the whole essence of a republic. And right now we're starting to lose that, where people call for abolishing the Electoral College. They call for, I mean, even some states are saying, we're not doing the Electoral College, we're doing majority vote. Well, guess what? The Supremacy Clause says, no, you can't do that. Okay. The Constitution says you have to do it this way with the Electoral College. But they're trying. So, always going to have to fight for our freedoms. We're going to always have to fight to preserve the most genius framework of government ever known to man, and that is the U.S. Constitution. Okay. So, anyway, I'll end it there. Episode 39, Presidential Power, Not What the Founders Had in Mind. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Thanks for listening to The Constitution Solution, one podcast under God. The Constitution is the solution to most of our country's problems. Other episodes can be found on our website at 1787solution.com, YouTube, Rumble, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other podcast platforms. I'm your host, Mark DeLuzio. Until next time, may God bless you, may God bless America, and may America bless God.